This Father's Day, our preacher is in no other person than my very personal friend, my brother, Dr. Isaac Ejie. Shall we welcome him?
Thank you. I will first want to thank God for the leadership of this church, the leadership of the men's fellowship for choosing me to come and share the word of God this morning with you on this all special day and on this August pulpit. I thank you, Papa. Bembel Nana Uzu. I don't take this lightly at all. Before we move on Mother's Day, the way it is celebrated, I think it's about time the fathers also get something close to that. See, fathers, we share a title. We share a title that our Maker in heaven bears. Projection team, today I will please ask that you help me project the Bible verses when I mention them. If you can project Isaiah chapter 63 verses 16. Isaiah chapter 63 verses 16. Just want to buttress a point here so that. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. This is the title we share as men and as fathers. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, when he came here on earth and was teaching his people, the disciples, how to pray, he said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. It is a privilege to be called a father. And so, church, with a standing ovation and a round of applause, if we have fathers in this house, fathers that lead this church, fathers that have brought us up from our homes, fathers and father figures in our midst, shall we rise up with a round of applause, a big one, and appreciate our fathers in the house. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day to every father in the house. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. You may kindly take your seat. This morning, the theme that we have is quite a lengthy one. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, semicolon, man, comma, arise and build on this foundation to the end. I didn't leave anything out. It is quite a lengthy one, but we'll try to unpack it and break it down. Hallelujah. Let's pray.
I put you in front of my melodies.
You are all the matters. You are all the matters.
I'm ready for two. I'll put you in front of my melodies. You are all the maddest this morning, Lord. You are all the maddest. I'll make room for two. bring it away. Ooh. You are the mightiest. This morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, we acknowledge you as God and we acknowledge you as our Father. This morning, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we give you praise. We honor you, we adore you for bringing us once again to your presence. Father, we have come. We have come to your feet. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, speak to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our minds, O God. Speak to our needs, O God. We call upon you this morning to make yourself known unto us. Father, speak. May your people not hear my voice, but your voice, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, come and open the eyes of our understanding this morning. That we may behold you. That we may behold your wondrous work, O God. Thank you, O God, that when we call upon you, you hear us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, man, arise and build on this foundation. When we mention the name of Jesus, I don't want to assume we all know, but I presume everyone in this auditorium this morning knows who Jesus is. When my brother was leading the liturgy this morning, he said he is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Christ Jesus is God. Bible says that in the beginning, he was. And by him, nothing was created that was created. Christ Jesus is our Savior. Not long ago, about 7 months ago, we celebrated Christmas when Jesus was birthed into the earth. And about 4 months ago, we celebrated Easter when he went to the cross to die for our sins. This is the person I'm recommending and commending to you this morning. Jesus Christ, the rock. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 4. Bible says that he's the ancient rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. We all know that story. When the people of Israel were journeying out of slavery, and they got to a place and they were thirsty, and they started complaining. The Lord God told their leader, Moses, that he should point that stick to the rock. Moses didn't know that rock was God himself. And we all know what happened after he struck the rock. Jesus, I'm commending to you this morning, is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. That cornerstone. He's our everlasting Father. Said, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. I commend to you Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. And Bible says that the peace that he gives surpasses all understanding. I'm talking about the peace of God. Anything that disturbs your peace, it being sickness, it's been financial issues, it's been family issues, work issues, whatever that disturbs your peace, this morning, I commend to you Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. For he's the one that heals. He's the one that restores. He's the one that saves. Hallelujah. As Presbyterians, after service, after the sermon, we always recite our creed. Call it the Apostles' Creed. And we openly confess Jesus, that he's the maker of heaven and earth, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born by the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell the third day, he rose again and from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come and judge the living and the dead. This is our declaration. This is the Jesus we believe in, that he's going to come back. And we confess and make this bold declaration Sunday after Sunday, that Christ Jesus is our Lord. And we believe in his resurrection. We believe in the communion of saints. We believe in the forgiveness of sins we have in him. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And we also believe in life everlasting with him. Hallelujah. Jesus, this morning, from the Bible passages that was read to us this morning. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. It talks about Jesus using a parable. In Jesus' days, Jesus will use a parable. Theologians believe that even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the leaders of the church at that time, they also used parables that would bring the concept of whatever he wants to teach or put across, it will bring the understanding to them. So no wonder Jesus was sometimes referred to as the great master, the teacher. He would use these short stories and drive home whatever he wants them to understand. And when you read the chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus Christ was teaching them. You know, the verse 1 starts with when he had gone into the synagogue to teach and healed someone on the Sabbath. And right from there, they started plotting just to trap him, to carry out, just to kill him. When you read downwards, he was teaching them. And he even taught them the Beatitudes that we read this morning. He taught them to be good. That the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He taught them. The blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It was in that same passage, Luke chapter 6, that he taught them. The blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So when he had just taught them so much, he used this parable at the end of the chapter to drive home the concept and the idea that he was trying to put across. But this particular parable, it was recorded by two of the writers of the gospel. Matthew recorded it in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And Luke recorded it in the chapter 6. In this particular parable, he used the concept of a builder. The concept of a builder. And so he drew that contrast and likeness between two people that are building. And he tried to explain to them for them to understand exactly what he meant and all the lessons that he had taught them. Now I want us to read that portion of scripture, Luke chapter 7. I mean, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus was trying to drive something home. Stick with me. Okay, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? I will show you what he is like. Who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. If it's your own Bible, you can underline "who dug down deep." Who dug down deep. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it, Because it was well built. Can you get me the New King James Version or the King James Version? I have the King James Version. Say, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, does them. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Emphasis on the article, the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against it and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. Hallelujah. See, the houses that God, Christ Jesus was trying to paint here, they were houses that were built. So from the outside, they all looked the same. They all look the same. Because the foundation is the lowest unseen load-bearing structure of every house. You will not see the foundation from the outside. Christ Jesus made it known to us. And there are conditions that show what foundation is beneath every structure. So when I was preparing for this message, and I came to this portion, I decided to read a little bit more about how buildings and structures are constructed here in America. And I came across this article that is saying there's a new company, startups, that are able to build structures that are tornado resistant. So I decided to go and read a little more about that too. And I noticed that here in America, they have, like somewhere, if you take the American map, somewhere in the middle to the down south, they have the Tornado Alley and the Dixie Alley. These are areas that experience high amount of tornadoes. It affects states like Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, some part of Texas, and Kentucky. These construction companies are saying they are able to build tornado-resistant homes. Like, that is very interesting. What would they be doing different? I decided to read a little more about that. And one thing runs through all their claims. They're all saying that the foundation, how deep it is, and most importantly, how secure the foundation, the frame of the structure, how secure the frame of the structure is to the foundation. And so they have all manner of, like, the screws and bolts, and, you know, they've designed newer ones that even if the tornado hits the house and tilts it backwards or sideways, when the storm subsides, it's able to just fall back. The foundation. The second thing that I noticed that runs through was the roof. They're saying that the roof, how secured it is to the frame of the structure, is what determines if it is going to topple the house or the structure in times of storm or tornadoes or not. bringing this to the Bible verse that we have heard, the foundation. Bible is saying that we need to dig deep and lay the foundation. As I said earlier on, looking at these houses from the outward, they all look same. Because there is sand which looks like rock. There is sand that you can build on and it will still hold the structure until the storm comes. Christ Jesus is saying this morning, you need to dig deep. You need to dig deep. You need to dig deep. If you dig deep, you have a lot of dirt to throw out. Hallelujah. If you dig deep, you have a lot of earth to throw out. Dig deep. Dig deep.
Christ.
Oh, let rock I stand. Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Soa. That is what I'm saying this morning, church. That is what I'm presenting to you this morning, church. That all other ground is sinking sand. They may look like rock. They may look like you can build something substantial. But when the storm hits, it will disappoint you. Jesus Christ, in this parable, gave a threefold condition. He said, everyone that comes to me, he's talking about we surrendering to him when we come to him. Everyone that comes to me, do we come to him? Then why are we not letting it go? Why are we not giving it all up to him? Why are we not leaving it? Why are we not surrendering to him? He said, and if you come, the second one is, can we have the Luke chapter 6? He said, and heareth my words. If you come to him and you hear his words, do we hear him when we come here? Sometimes we are overly fixated on the outwards. But do we really hear him when we come here? When I was reading this verse, I realized that it wasn't even so much for those out there who haven't heard the word. It is not even for those who are out there in the world who don't know who Jesus is.
But it was for whosoever cometh to me. For those of us that gather here Sunday after Sunday, that gather on Tuesdays after Tuesdays on the Zoom, that come in here on Friday after Friday for prayer meetings, do we hear him? He's talking about discipleship. Do we allow ourselves to be taught by him? As I said, the last part was his main concept. The last part was his main concept, the obedience. He said, if you come and you hear and you do, that was what he was trying to put across. After teaching them from the beginning of chapter 6, after everything that he had taught them, if you don't do it, you are like a house built on sinking sand. You are like a house built on sinking sand. And as I said, if you dig deep, you have a lot of dirt to throw out. Why are we keeping the dirt? Why do we come here Sunday after Sunday and hear his word and still hold on to the dirt? Why can't we dig deep to hit the rock? The rock this morning is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation that is already laid, and there's no need to lay any other. When I say we are digging deep, what do I mean? You come to church, a message is preached. You take the time to go over, to read over. You spend that time when you get home to dig deep into the word. As I said, sometimes sand can look like rock. Sand can look like rock. The fact that it is written in the Bible doesn't mean that is it all. I haven't read the Bible so many times yet. Very subjective. But the Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. If anything, the Bible explains itself. But you have to dig deep. And so when you come across a verse, you just don't run with it. Take your time. Read the chapter. Take your time. Read the book. Take your time, get the correspondences, dig deep. When Jesus started his ministry, the first miracle that he performed was at a wedding reception, and it was providing wine, the best of wine, at the end. Or the latter part of the event. Some people take this word like that. And they'll tell you, go read your Bible. Go read your Bible. It's in the Bible. It's right there, black and white. Even Jesus converted the water into wine. Why? Why would you say then, I shouldn't drink? They have another one that he quotes from the book of 1 Timothy. When Paul was admonishing his son, Timothy, can we have 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 23? Drink a little bit wine for your stomach's sake. And they run with it. Kone kwa kan Bible na wum. O Bible no kra won kan ni ye. O say drink a little, o say drink no longer water. But use a little wine for the stomach's sake and die of an infirmities. Ah! ɛde dina ɔka kyerɛ me sɛ mayɛ mboro nsa bɛdamfo baako hwɛ biaa ne bɛnani so ɔsɛ mayɛ tipsi mayɛ tipsi. People of God, we need to dig deep. The fact that you came across this verse, or a verse like that, or any other verse, don't run with it. Dig a little bit deeper. Dig a little bit deeper. Because it is then that you're going to see Proverbs chapter 20, verses 1. And the Bible is talking about this same wine. That he is a mocker. And that if you are deceived by it. That's why I like this version. It says you are not wise. Other versions put a very harsh word there. Dig a little deeper. Then you will come across Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18. Which says you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not wine. Don't get drunk on wine. If you break that one down, don't get drunk on wine. You would have said, oh, I'll take a little bit, but I will not get drunk. I always say science actually just reveals what God has already made. Take you to science a little bit. That when you take alcohol, they call it the happy hormones. Serotonin and dopamine are going up. Happy hormone. But at that same time, there is another hormone called the GABA. Gamma aminobutyric acid. That is what controls your alertness and your judgment. That one is blocked. But it doesn't happen at the same time. It's gradual. And it's all happening at the same time, gradually. So if you take it, oh, me no one glass, I ain't me shame. You take it, ain't no shame. But give yourself the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, based on the percentage. Once you realize that, why you're tipsy, wobble. Once you realize that, abawe niso, wobble. And that is a fine line. How would you tell, say, menoma emba meniso? You can't tell. Because you don't know the number of receptors that you have in there. Please, let's dig deep. Let's dig deep. Let's dig deep. Let's not take the word of God on the surface. How do we dig deep then? How do we dig deep? For every profession and every occupation here, they have tools that they use to work for efficiency's sake. And so when you come into construction, if they want to dig a hole, they have tools like the shovel, the pickaxe, and all of that, you know, handheld tools. But they also have the powered tools, like the excavator, that would dig. When you come to the nurses, they have their tools. When you come to the carpenters, they have their tools. If they want to drive a nail through wood, they don't use their hands. They'll go grab a hammer. So for you to dig deep, the first thing you need to do is to get the materials. Get the materials. Church, get the materials. Invest in a good Bible. Get a good Bible. Invest in a concordance. With this day and age, information technology. Get an iPad and you have a trillion resources that you can use to build your faith, to build your house on the rock. Get the materials. That is how you start digging.
So that when the sermon is preached and you get home, you can look into it. Every verse quoted, you can read it again. We thank God for technology. Almost every Sunday, the message that is preached from this pulpit is on YouTube. For some of us who are engaged with the kids in their small chapel, I don't get to listen to messages live, like being here, but I make it a point to play every message before the end of Sunday. I will listen to it before the end of the day for me. If my day is ending at 12 midnight, I will still make sure that I watch the video and listen to a sermon. And there are so many sermons. The Presbyterian Church of Ghana has a website. So many resources. People of God, let's invest in tools that will bring us the understanding of God's word. When Jesus was talking, he said, if can we have the Luke, the verse again, please? We need to dig deep to understand. So from Jesus Christ teaching them so many things and they're doing which he really expects of them, they need to dig. And that is understanding. Understanding. Once you are able to stand under the word, doing it becomes natural. It becomes so easy. You know, when we're in Ghana, on Independence Days, I'm sure they do it here too. And even the military people here would attest to that. That at military parades, the commander will say something. And it's only the contingent that understand. The commander will give a command. And because you don't understand, you don't even know what was said. But once the command goes out, you see the army contingent do exactly what had been said. It is the same. I wanted to try one. Parade, attach, and that's all you hear. By the time you realize these people will do something, you're like, what did he say? What did he say? People of God, we need to understand God's word. Once you understand it, doing it becomes so, so easy. God has revealed himself in his word. There is no word above this. It is established even in the heavens. These words that we have. But if you don't understand it, the command comes and you're like, what's happening? That's why we need to invest in tools that will help us to understand the word of God. That as we dig and understand, doing it becomes so easy. I'm not going to look down on the prophetic, but even the prophecies that is not founded on God's word is questionable. It's questionable. A prophecy that is not founded on God's word is questionable in every sense. Because the word had been spoken. It is established. You have to find it. You have to dig it. You have to throw out the dirt. You have to throw out the dirt. You have to throw out the gossip. You have to throw out the hatred, the bitterness, the lies, the sexual impurity. You have to throw them out and hit the rock. Then you can build on it. When he was talking about the storm that came, he said it rained. The wind blew. And the flood came up. It rained. The wind blew. And the flood came up. That is when the foundation is tested. In life, What can be a blessing can sometimes be a storm. I know we don't have that in this church, but there are people who get blessed, so much blessed. The Lord rains his blessings on them, and they get out of the church. I don't know if you have heard of any story like that. They get so much blessed, and they start questioning why they have to pay tithe and why they have to give. And I saw for no Jessica, he didn't know apart from paying for no Jessica, no, because he's blessed. But in life, the storms also come and it hits on the side of the frame. And that was why when I was reading these startups that said they have tornado resistance, I understood why they said it is the frame. How secure the roof is on the frame and how secure the frame is to the foundation that withstands the tornado. As the rain falls, the flood rises up. You'll be hit by the floods. As a blessing as it may sound, when it floods you so much, your foundation is going to determine whether you are going to be still rooted in the house of the Lord or you're going to be drifted away. In life, storms happen. In life, the rain come. In life, the floods come up. How deep is your foundation? How secured is your frame on top of the foundation? How secured is your roof? Jesus was speaking. He needed them to yield. The only way you can yield, by understanding. It's just amazing. When I was preparing, it's just amazing. I came across this, that in the Garden of Eden, man had every food to eat. So they were full, literally, because they could eat of any fruit except that one that the Lord said they should not touch. So man was full. But even then, in that state of fullness, man fell to the deception of the devil. But Jesus Christ came here on earth, fasted for 40 days, was very hungry, and was tested with food, and he overcame. What was the difference? Jesus has yielded his will to the Lord. Not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus has yielded. This morning, if you'll be able to overcome, if you'll be able to build on this rock, that when the storms come, you will stand. That when the heavy rains come, you will stand. That when the flood arises, you will stand. You need to submit your will. You need to submit your will. That is the only way you can do what God is telling you to do. Until Eve ate the apple or the forbidden fruit, she had not submitted her will to the devil. Evil thoughts may come. Don't yield to them. Some opportunities that you can tell are bad may come. Don't yield to them. Submit your will to the Lord. Build on this rock and you will not be shaken. Build on this rock and you'll be established. Hallelujah. This morning, the word of God has come to you. I want us to spend a little bit of time in prayer. Men, arise and build on the word. Arise and build on this rock. That is the message. You're not just building it, but you're building it to the end. For someone, at this moment, you're building your family, your home. Build it on the rock. For someone, you're building finances. Don't cut corners. Don't take bribes. The book of Nehemiah that was read, when you read from there, chapter 1, the people of Israel had been in bondage for over 70 years. Babylon had destroyed everything. And when people passed by, they said, this city used to be a very great city. Solomon's temple is broken down and it's in ruins. For a whole generation. And those that were taken away to Babylon, they have risen into high positions like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, like Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer, a position that requires over 100% trust for you to serve the king wine. These guys had risen into big positions. And the remnants in Israel, you know, when they fight in those days and they are taking captives, they don't take the weak ones because they have no benefit of you. So the ones that will be left will be the ones that were weak, that were sick, disabled. Those ones, they are left behind because when they carry them away, they have no benefit of them. So those were the ones that were there. After 70 years, Daniel and his friends read the books and now they were allowed to go. So some of them returned. Theologians believe that about just 2% of them returned back because there was no city. The walls were broken. Those days when they built their cities, they build walls, fortified walls for protection. They build walls for protection. So when the walls are broken down, you are vulnerable. Anyone can attack anytime and you wouldn't know. And that was the state of Israel. But there was a man who had kept the stories that he was told. There was a man who sent and said, what is happening back home? He needed to hear. He needed to hear. He needed to hear what was happening home. People of God, when I was reading the parable in the book of Luke, for those who haven't heard, where do they fit in that parable? It means they haven't even started building. At least for those who come and hear, they build. Just that it might be on sand. But how about those who haven't heard? The Bible said we should go there. We should go and speak. I'm not saying buy a ticket and go to Saudi Arabia. But right from your house, right there in your corner at work, share the gospel. Start by saying Jesus loves you. And that can just trigger a whole conversation about Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. And that can just trigger a whole salvation conversation. Can I pray for you? And that will start a whole turnaround for someone. Can I take you to church? And that will be a blessing for someone. We need to speak up the word. Nehemiah got the message back. He was living a very comfortable life. Those days, a very high post. But he decided to go back. He decided to go back and build so that the walls of Jerusalem will rise. The walls of Jerusalem will be rebuilt and offer security and protection for the people of Israel. I speak to the men in this church as I speak to the entire church. Let us arise. Let us arise and build on Christ. Let us arise and dig deep and throw out the dead. Let us arise and build that when the storm comes, we will stand. the discouragers will be there. When you read the book of chapter 2, the verses downwards through chapter 3, Sambala and Tobias were there. But I like one thing that Nehemiah told them. Nehemiah chapter 2, projection team. If you can get me the chapter 2, where we had been reading. The next verse, verse 19. It's about when Sambalat and Tobiah, when they heard it, they laughed at us. Scorn us and despise us. What are you thinking of doing? Can I get the next verse? They were making fun of them. But Nehemiah said something. He said, "Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." Hallelujah. The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we will arise and build. We will arise and build. That word prosper there, I broke it down a little bit. It means he will bless you. It means he will empower you. It means he will give you health. He will give you peace. Arise and build. And the Lord God will prosper you. Hallelujah. Arise and build. Build on the rock. Build on the rock. Not on sinking sand. Build on the rock. Dig the dirt out. And find the rock. And build on it. But the Lord your God will prosper you as you do that. The people of Israel, for those who had come in and those who had the project, they all came. And the previous verse said they all decided to just get on board. Men's fellowship, arise and build. The state of the church needs you. Church, let's arise and build. Mount Zion needs us. The work of God needs more hands. The vineyard is ready for harvest. More laborers are needed. Arise and let's build. That the Lord will prosper us. Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to just enter into a time of prayer. I've said so many things this morning. When God speaks like this, we all get our portion. When I was preparing to this message, it ministered to me. And as I shared it with you now, it ministered to me differently. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And as I speak these words to you, I also hear myself. Church, we need to arise and build. We need to arise and build. I want you to thank God this moment. Just give him praise, give him praise, give him praise for what you have heard. When God speaks, we all have our portion. What you might receive is different from what I may receive, and is different from what the brother or sister would receive. But we all receive something. I want you to thank God for this morning, for bringing you here. Thank God for these words that you've heard from him. Thank God for the privilege to be counted among the living. Thank God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus this morning for our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the illumination it comes with. We thank you in the name of Jesus for the understanding. We thank you for the challenge. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, O God. We magnify you, Father. We thank you so much for all you've blessed us with. to even build on your foundation. We thank you for the knowledge of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. The accomplished work on Calvary's cross, we don't take it for granted, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. This morning, glory be unto you, Father. In Jesus' name. I told you that the discouragers may come in. They will say everything. But the people of Israel didn't budge. They didn't yield to that. They decided to build. And when you read on, which I'm expecting you to do when you get home, they built the gates by the families and by the prophets. The fish gate was built. The gates for sacrifice was built. And eventually, Israel, the walls were built. And they could now put valuable things in the temple because they had the walls built. This morning, I want you to just come to God and say, Father, whatever you laid on my heart, you know it, I don't know it. But God would lay something on your heart. God has laid something on your heart. Say, God, help me. That I will not be discouraged by what I hear and by what I see. But I will keep my eyes on you like a flint. And I will see your prosperity. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Help us, oh God, to remain steadfast in you. Help us to trust you. Help us to build on the rock. In the name of Jesus. We need you. For as humans, sometimes, Father, we become so weak and discouraged. Sometimes we don't have the energy and the drive, the zeal and the enthusiasm anymore. But Father, Lord, you are God and you remain same. Strengthen our weak knees and our feeble hands. Strengthen our weak knees and our feeble hands. Strengthen our weak knees and our feeble hands, oh God. Help us to build to your glory. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for such a time in your presence. Your word does not condemn us, but your word convicts us. Your word encourages us. This morning we thank you for visiting us, Lord. We thank you for your words that have come, Father, to challenge us, to convict us. Help us, oh God, that we would dig deep, that we will not be for superficial Christians, for bearing your name that our accent will give us away, for bearing your name that our dressing will give us away. Like Peter, that they would say, yes, we are Christians. Our conversations and our words will give us away. That we are Christians. That we are your children. Help us, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.